Awesome. All right, get all this technology set up here and ready. As Rick said, my name is Dave. I am the Director of Ministry and Operations with the Visalia Rescue Mission, but my background is with the Evangelical Free Church, associate pastor with the Tulare Church and then with the Kingsburg Church. And I've been at the Rescue Mission for about a year and a half now, and I had the privilege of working with a group of people that desperately need to know the love of Christ. And it is rewarding. It is exciting, exciting stuff. I am familiar with this church. I go back in history quite a long ways with some of your previous pastors as part of the EV Free, and with some of you as well. I've actually had the privilege of speaking here at your men's breakfast, and I've also been able to participate with you out at one of your shooting events, which was a lot of fun. I mean, any time a group of guys can get together and shoot guns, you can't go wrong. I'm just sorry. All right, guys, come on, let's hear it. Amen. Yes, absolutely. So Rick calls and he says, hey, we're hoping you might be able to come and preach, and we're going through this series on the nine marks of a healthy church by Mark Devers. And I'm like, okay, I know it's a good book. It challenges churches to take stock of themselves, to examine what they're doing, and to look at how they're doing ministry. Not so much with the purpose of convicting them that they're doing it wrong, but looking at ways that they can do it better. I mean, and isn't that our goal in life and in faith? I mean, doesn't God deserve our first and our best? So as you go through a book like that, and I do want to encourage you, don't be discouraged if you think, well, we may not be doing that exactly the way the book says. Okay, think in terms of how can we be able to do it better? How can we give forth our best and first to God? Now, he also told me I got the opportunity to speak about evangelism, and I was excited. You can see the smile on my face. Evangelism is something that's so, so important to me. Now, normally you don't like to come in a series when a preacher or teacher is teaching a series because, you know, it's kind of hard to jump in there a little bit and get in the mode of what they're doing. But because it was evangelism, I let him twist my arm and we were good. You see, evangelism, I just can't think of anything more important. Now, I realize, okay, you look at the book and you look at all the different sections it has, and it's like, well, all of them are important. Yes, they are. You know, but evangelism just has that touch, because evangelism is that work that we do to share the hope that God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Many of you know what it was like not to have that hope. And many of you had someone tell you about this man named Jesus, the Son of God, and he changed your life forever. And that's what we want to do. That's the hope that we want to share. Now, again, I realize, you know, everybody may have their favorite. It's kind of like if you ever watch Monday Night Football with Chris Collinsworth, and he gets there and this receiver makes a great catch, and he goes, he has got to be the absolute best receiver in the NFL. And then next week, your next receiver catches the ball and he goes, he has got to be the best receiver in the NFL. And he does that for the entire season. Yes, it's kind of like that. But evangelism, I mean, let's think about it, folks. We live in a challenged world. The headlines from this week is a young man who was lost takes the lives of 17 young children. In Las Vegas, a deranged man lost. Wounds and kills hundreds of people. We live in a time of uncertainty with the world powers. We have a person in North Korea that we're not sure of his stability. And we're not sure if tomorrow, just on the whim that he has, that he could press a button and we're engaged in a nuclear war. The moral values that a holy and righteous God has given us have been put to the side. People don't care if they're of the values of the world. But see, then that's our mission. Our mission is to share with them the love of Christ, the words of Christ, the gospel message, the good news, so that they can know that those things that they see are not the hope that God has for us. And by knowing that, their lives can be changed forever. Now, every day, I see a group of people at the Visalia Rescue Mission, a group of people who definitely need to have some change in their lives. They're lost, they're addicts, they're drunks, prostitutes, every realm of the lost that you could think of is there at the Rescue Mission. Now, we try to help them. We try to give them a meal. We try to give them a warm place to sleep at night. And by doing so, try to demonstrate some love of Christ to them that might gain their attention. And I think in some ways it helps. But man, I tell you, when you look at some of these folks who are lost in their addiction or lost to the mental illnesses that have gathered them and that plague them, your heart breaks. So we try to help, and each night we have a chapel service. And yes, you might say that each night we save the same 100 people over and over and over again. Yeah, there's some truth to that. But then there are those where all of a sudden the light comes on. The light shines into the darkness that is their lives. And for the first time, they see a glimmer of hope. Let me tell you about one of those. Her name is Mary. Now, I've been at the Rescue Mission for about a year and a half. And Mary has been there this entire time. Mary is 50, 55 years old. It's hard to tell. She's a taller lady, but she only weighs about 100 pounds. And her addiction is alcohol. I don't think I've ever seen her when she wasn't drunk or looking for her next drink. She's hard to get along with. Starts fights all the time. She's a problem. She's a handful. Many times I've had to call the police department, and many times I've had her arrested because of her behavior. And she was also kind of typical, because sometimes in their addiction, people are like, you know, I want change. I really do. I want change. And then the next day you see them and they're right back where they were. And you wonder, what's missing there? What is it that needs to take place? In Mary's case, about 6 months ago, her family finally told her, enough. We don't really have much to do with you, but we're cutting all ties. You're not welcome. You're not welcome in our house. You're not welcome to see your grandchildren. We're done. And something clicked. Mary made a decision. She said, you know, I need to change. And she came to us because she says, you know, I'm familiar with your program. I've been to this program before, a long time ago, but I wasn't really paying much attention. Matter of fact, I was drunk most of the time. I've been to other programs, she told me. She said, you've been to about 6 of them. Most of them were not faith-based. But she told me she really wanted to make an effort. So because of our history, we referred her to Fresno and allowed them to kind of take the reins at another gospel rescue mission that was over there. And Mary went, and she stayed, and after 4 months, Mary graduated. I saw Mary 2 weeks ago. She was not the same person. She'd gained a little weight. She had a smile on her face. And she came up, and she gave me a great big hug, something she'd never done before. She'd never really wanted anything to do with it. She said, thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you. When I went to this mission that you sent us, I gave my life to Christ, and He changed me in a way I could never imagine. And you could look at Mary and you could see the hope on her face. You could see the joy on her face. You could see Jesus in her face. And praise God, because that's what evangelism is about. Now, we weren't the ones that shared the actual gospel with her, but we were the ones part of the process. We got to be able to plant the seed. Someone else was able to be part of the harvest. but we certainly enjoyed the blessings of seeing her 2 weeks ago. And I prayed with her. I prayed, may God give you the strength to walk through this. Continue to count on Him day by day. And she said, that thing that most addicts come to realize, I do not know what tomorrow will bring, but today, just give me Jesus. That's evangelism. Now make no mistake, there are many others that are out there. There are many others that need to hear that story. And again, some of you can relate. I know I can relate. I didn't come to Jesus till I was 37 years old. Matter of fact, I'm going through learning about how to be a pastor and all the stuff for the EV Free Church at the same time as my brother Tim. I know we're twins, right? I came to Christ late in life, but I realized what it was that my life was like and what it is now. And that's the hope that we want to give to people. But it has to be worth our best effort. It has to be something that is purposeful and important to us. Because the fact of the matter is the world is full of Marys. And they need to hear about Jesus Christ. Now, Devers has written this book asking us to examine ourselves, to look at yourselves as a church, if you would, and say, okay, is evangelism a priority to us? Now, only you can answer that, but, you know, and I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand, but if I asked how many of you have shared your faith recently, there might not be a whole lot of people raise their hand. If I asked you how many people have shared their faith in the last year, there might not be a whole lot of folks raise their hand. Now, only you can answer that. But what Devers challenges when he looks at a healthy church is he says a healthy church is one that recognizes that maybe we weren't doing it the way we should do, but now we need to do it differently. It's not about what you have been doing. It's about what you will be doing. And that's what makes you healthy, a commitment to walk alongside the Lord. Now, Devers talks about evangelism in this way. He says evangelism is the proclamation of the gospel or the good news with the intent to bring about conversion. In other words, to see people come to new life, to become new creations in Christ. He also adds that it's also the work of the Holy Spirit in regenerating the individuals. So it's not only our participation, but it's primarily the work of God. We just get to be along for the ride, if you would. What a ride, isn't it? I mean, how many of you have had the privilege of sharing your faith and you got to hear that person say yes to Jesus? I'm going to tell you, man, when you got done with that, I'm betting you felt more blessed than they did. You felt blessed that you were able to be part of that process. You felt blessed that you saw another name's added to the Lamb Book of Life and you're sitting there and you can't wait to go tell somebody. Hey, they said yes to Jesus. It's exciting. It's contagious. But only if you're doing it. Now, we would all acknowledge evangelism must take place. So let's look at a passage that kind of puts us into a biblical perspective. I love this passage. It's in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. That's Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. And it's a story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, a tremendous story of evangelism and a heart that's willing to serve the Lord. Acts chapter 8, verses starting at 26. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. Now he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now, the pastor of Scripture, or the passage of Scripture he was reading, was this: like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down in the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Will you pray with me? Father, we lift up your words. I pray that as I come before you this morning, Lord, come before your people, before this congregation, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to speak to each and every one who is present here. That they would not just hear my words, Lord, but they would hear the words that come from you, the words that come from your holy scriptures, the inspiration that comes from your Holy Spirit to guide them and lead them today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is an amazing story of what outreach and evangelism can look like. And I want to draw your attention to a couple key things in here, which I think should exemplify what a healthy church could look like, or an individual who's doing evangelism, what that process could be. Not that it's the only process, but it's a process that I see that comes out of this passage. Notice that in our passage, we see this man, Philip. And we see that when he is called upon, he responds faithfully and obediently. The second thing we see and that we'll talk about is that not only was he faithful and obedient, but he was ready and prepared for the work that God called him to. And then number three, he got to be part of the blessing. He got to be part and witness not just the blessing, but the harvest of his personal fruits of work, the fruits of his own labor. He got to be a part of that. He got to see that. He got to witness this young man, this gentleman, this Ethiopian, come to Christ. Amen? Yes. Amen. Now, we're going to begin with our first point, which is this. Philip responded faithfully and obediently to God's calling. Now, what does that mean to us? What that means to us is, as God's church, we must respond faithfully and obediently to God's direction and calling. Look at how it was for Philip. The angel comes to Philip and he says, Philip, I want you to rise and go from here over to this desert place. Philip's response, he immediately rises, goes, and he went. The Spirit said, go over and join this chariot. So Philip runs over to him. Faithfully and obediently, he responds. Philip heard this direction. He obeyed God, and when God spoke to him, he was ready. Just as Philip was ready and faithful and obedient, Christ calls us to the same thing. The problem is sometimes we just want to be spectators. The problem is sometimes we want to be on the sidelines watching everybody else do all the work. God has not made us to be spectators. The commission that Jesus Christ gave to us was not just to a few, it was to all of us. We're called to be participants, not observers. Sometimes, though, we don't just want to be spectators. We want to make excuses on why we can't be engaged in evangelism. Say, it's not my gift. I'm not comfortable speaking to others. Now, I understand that. I really do. I'm not making light of the fact that some people have difficulty. I love my wife, but she is not going to be one that's going to go out to a group of women and say, hey, come here, let me tell you about Jesus. That's just not her makeup. Yet while she's sitting at work talking with her friends, somebody's talking, he says, have you ever thought about going to church? It doesn't have to be that bold proclamation. It can be that soft, still voice that says, hey, have you ever thought about this? I understand. We all have different gifts. We do. We all have different comfort levels. I acknowledge that. But when it comes to talking to people about our faith, I want to remind you, see, the reality is we're not alone in this process. Speaking to someone on our own may be uncomfortable, but we're not alone. If we have said yes to Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit who resides within us. And that same Holy Spirit that resides within us affirms to us, not only are we not alone, but that Holy Spirit will give us strength, will give us comfort, will give us encouragement. Scripture even says the Holy Spirit will give us the right words at the right time to say. You don't have to worry about it in terms of I'm on my own or I'm not comfortable. Let God work through you to proclaim the good news. See, I would say it really comes down to, are we willing to do those things? Are we willing to be obedient as God has commanded us? If not, then as Devers has suggested, do you need to possibly think about approaching it from a different way? Now, what might that look like? Okay, if I said, hey, I want you to think about something, a different approach to how to do this, what might that look like? Well, first, I think you need to pray that God would open your heart to the movement of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have just been going about your day and all of a sudden you feel stirred by this movement to go talk to somebody, and all of a sudden you find yourself in the midst of this divine appointment that God has set for you, and you're talking to them about Jesus Christ, or you're praying with them because they've had something that's happened in their life and they need prayer, they need encouragement. Have you ever had those divine appointments? Man, well, they come because you're willing to listen to that small, still voice that spurs you to action. The challenge for us is when we don't listen. So we need to pray, God, give me some spiritual antennas. Let me be listening for that voice. Man, cry out. Lord, here I am. Use me. Your will be done. What do you want me to do, Lord? I am here. Because when we adopt an attitude that says, Lord, I am here for you, our whole world and perspective can change. It's not about us and our comfort level or our gifts or anything. It's about, Lord, what do you want to see happen? And when that happens, we're talking about things that are healthy. Man, pray for opportunities. But when you get those opportunities, respond. Don't be afraid. Call upon the strength of the Lord. He promises to be there. When those opportunities present themselves, though, we need to consider our second point, and that's this. Philip was ready and prepared for the work God called him to. As his church, we must be ready and prepared beforehand for the work that God has called us to. Now, I understand. I just talked to you about the fact that God helps us. Yes, he does. But there's also an individual responsibility that we have, a responsibility that we have to be prepared. Now, my wife and I were looking at your bulletin and we were noticing all the different classes that you have and all the different things that you have going on. Praise God. That's where you get prepared. That's where you have the opportunity to learn, to grow closer in your faith, to understand more about what it is God wants for you in your life, and more importantly, what he wants you to share with others that can change their life. Be part of those studies. Now notice Philip. He goes up there in this, This gentleman is reading, and Philip immediately knew the passage of Scripture he was reading at. That takes effort and study to know that kind of information. That you hear somebody talking from a book of Isaiah, and you can say, I know what he's talking about. And then not to just know and understand what he was reading, but to be able to take that in his mind and say, here's how I can take that, and here's how I can share Jesus. Because the passage he was reading is talking about the suffering of Christ. And Philip immediately goes and he begins from that scripture to tell this man about Jesus, who was the suffering servant that came to die for the sins of the world. Man. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us this. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks the reason for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Can you do that? Are you prepared to do that? Are you ready to give someone an answer for the hope that you have in Jesus Christ? Maybe. If not, get in one of these Bible studies. Get in one of these study groups. Learn more. Be prepared. Maybe you might not be at that point right now. Okay. One of the greatest, passers, got the ball, you bring it, you pass it to the next person, is my wife. And I say this not to get brownie points, but she's not comfortable talking to someone about Jesus, but she is more than comfortable saying, hey, let me have you talk to my husband. The point of that being is that if you're not comfortable with you personally sharing, hand them off. Hand them off to someone you know that is willing to share and can share and let them know that hope. There's nothing wrong with that. Especially if maybe you're a little nervous about doing it. Okay. But don't just ignore it. Hand it off to somebody that you know can pick up the ball and run with it. You can be prepared by reading God's word regularly. Now, I'm going to challenge you men because we're the worst at that. Men are absolutely the worst at reading the word and reading the Bible on a regular, consistent basis. By contrast there, ladies, you do a great job, most of you. Praise God. Guys, we could do a better job. It takes a little bit of effort. It takes commitment. But by reading God's word, we come closer to who God is. By reading God's word, we come closer to knowing what it is he wants for us. And by knowing what he wants for us, we can know what he wants us to tell others. And that comes from reading his word. I would also encourage you that being prepared could mean memorizing scripture. Being prepared with God's word to answer. You look at Christ in the temptation in the desert, and you notice that Christ, when he answered Satan, did not answer him from worldly wisdom or even spiritual wisdom. He answered them from God's word directly. He was able to overcome the temptations, to fight off the work of the devil who was trying to deceive him and tempt him through God's word. And you can do the same. But it helps when we know Scripture. So commit to memorizing Scripture. Does it take time? Yes. Does reading your Bible take effort? Yes, it does. But isn't that what is about when we say give your best effort? I think it is. Finally, we come to the third point of our passage in that we saw Philip who was obedient. We saw Philip who was prepared, and we saw Philip who was able to be blessed by witnessing the harvest and the fruits of his labor. Man, as his church, you can enjoy those things too. They're going along on the road after Philip had shared his faith with them. And the passage says that notice who it was. It wasn't Philip who said, here's some water, you want to be baptized. It's the Ethiopian man in the joy of his conversion who says, here's some water, What prevents me from being baptized? And immediately Philip and this Ethiopian go down into the water and he is baptized. And the rest of the passage tells us that as he comes up out of the water, Philip is moved off to his next appointment, but the Ethiopian is there and he's just full of joy. Man, that's the kind of stuff I want to see. That's the kind of stuff I want to be a witness to. That's the kind of stuff I want to be a part of. Again, I said it earlier, man, when you see that kind of stuff, when you are there participating in the conversion of somebody, or you hear that someone that you've been talking to has given their life to Christ, you're excited. You want to do it more because you're like, hey, that was cool. Let me try it again. You want to do more. And you want to do it not just because it's joyful to you, but because it honors our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. What a joy. What a blessing. I would ask, don't you want to be part of that experience? If you're not, again, I would go back to what Devers said. Maybe there's something you need to think about, something you need to change in your approach of how you're doing things. I mean, as a church, do we want to be a church, or does this want to be a church, I should say, that the growth of this church is based on Brother Tim adding to our numbers daily because he keeps having these babies? Or do we want God's church, this church, to be a church that adds to its numbers because new believers are coming to know Jesus Christ? Not people transferring from other churches to come here because they're not happy with their church. They want to try something else. New believers, people who for the first time have said yes to Jesus Christ, and you fill your aisles, you fill the seats with those people, brand new baby Christians just out of the box. Yeah. Isn't that exciting? I hope that's what you want to see. Now, a quick word of caution, because Philip got to see the outcome of the fruits of his labor. He got to see this man come to Christ. We don't always get that opportunity. Sometimes we don't get to see the outcome of the work that we put into something. Sometimes we may, as we said earlier, we may be the ones planting the seed. But praise God, we were able to be a part of that. Sometimes we may be the ones who are watering, who get the chance to water and to help maybe let that seed grow a little bit. And then, yes, sometimes we get to be a part of the harvest and we're blessed. But here's the thing. If you don't get the opportunity to be part of the harvest, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Take joy that in God's kingdom, in His economy, someone was a part of that harvest, and the person that you invested in has now come to know Christ. It's not about our personal work or what we do individually. Isn't it about the individual and them coming to know Christ? Isn't that the thing that should give us the joy? I remember this lesson I learned very early in ministry. The first day I went to work at the Tulare EV Free Church, first day, they said, okay, we want you to go visit this fella named Harvey. Now, don't be discouraged when you go over there because Harvey's pretty hard to get along with. And then they told me all the things and shenanigans he pulled, and I said, yep, he sounds like a handful. You know, and it's kind of like, welcome to the NFL, go. You know? So I went, and I was visiting with Harvey. And he was sitting there watching a baseball game, and I just started talking to him. I'm not really a baseball guy, so that made it kind of difficult. But I just was asking him some questions, but then he started asking me questions because I was new to the church. He said, well, tell me about yourself. And I shared my testimony with him, and I shared how earlier in my life I was in rebellion against God, but as God drew me closer to Him, I made the decision for Christ, and my life changed forever. And we talked about how that changed. And then Harvey said this. He goes, man, I sure wish my life would change. Bam! It's like, woo! Did I just hear that? And I asked Harvey, I said, okay, Harvey, do you want it to change because you are saddened about your condition? You're not feeling well, you're older, you're hurting, life is just kind of weighed down on you? Or do you want life change that comes through knowing Christ, who gave me hope and who can give you hope? And he goes, yeah, that's the change I want. So I got the opportunity right then and there to share with Harvey, to talk to him about Jesus Christ. And there he accepted Jesus Christ. All right, so now again, you know, what's our reaction with that? Yes, Lord! You know, and I'm driving back to the church after this, and I'm like, yeah, and I go into the senior pastor's office and I said, hey, guess who just accepted Christ? And he goes, I got no clue. I said, Harvey. He goes, get out of here. Nope. He goes, we have been preaching to that man for years and years and years and years. And I say, yes, sir. And you did a good job, because today he said yes. It doesn't matter what part you play in the process. Don't be discouraged if it doesn't seem like they're responding. God's timing will happen. And as he calls them, he will bring forth into his kingdom those he has called. Maybe we don't get to be part of the harvest. Rick, man, I'm telling you right now, Rich is like, really? Yes, sir. He goes, no. Yep, really? You know, and then everybody else is like, really? Yep. That's outreach. That's evangelism. We go when we're asked to go. We're prepared when that moment of opportunity presents itself. We're prepared to answer and to give the hope that we have in Christ. And that as we have given that hope that we have in Christ, we pray that God, through the regenerating work of his Holy Spirit, would bring those people to Christ. Harvey passed to be with the Lord a few years ago. I will never forget the lesson that I learned, that no matter how, I don't want to say worthless, but how menial it may seem sometimes when somebody sends you to go do something, that God can still work. That God can still accomplish great things. The miraculous. That is his business, you know, the miraculous. And if he has done it in our lives, as he has done it for us, he can do it for others. This brings us back to kind of the question that Deaver presents, and I'm paraphrasing this. If our mission is to proclaim the gospel to those who are lost and who desperately need to hear the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, are we accomplishing that mission? Now, only you can answer that question. But that's the challenge that Devers presents to you in his book. That is the challenge that your pastors bring to you every Sunday. Are we accomplishing the mission that God has set before us? Now, if we're putting forth our best effort, if you're putting forth your best effort, then praise God. But if there are some questions, if there are concerns, if you honestly ask yourself, am I giving it my best, and you can't say yes, then maybe as Devers has presented, it's time to consider doing it differently. God's word tells us that the harvest is plentiful. We know that the lost are out there, and that they desperately need to hear about Jesus Christ. We know that by hearing, Romans tells us this very clearly, by hearing that they may come to believe, and that through faith that they might have life. But it takes those of us who have been commissioned to do this, which in the body of Christ is each and every one of you, it takes us to do the job God has called us to do. God because through faith they can have life. And we can see a woman like Mary, whose life is changed forever. I hope and pray that you desire to be part of that work, especially here at this church. As we see, God used Philip in amazing ways. But Philip was willing to be used. He was ready to be used. He was prepared to be used. And if this church is willing to be used, ready to be used, and prepared, God will use you, and you will see the blessings. And when that happens, may God add to your numbers daily those who are being saved. Amen? Let me close this in prayer. Gracious Father, I realize that in many ways this is exciting to talk about evangelism, but this is an area, Father, where we are at our weakest sometimes. Father, I pray that we would not be weak, but that we would be bold, that we would be strengthened and encouraged through your Holy Spirit to proclaim to everyone we see the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. We may encourage others with the same encouragement that we have, that we may give hope and joy to those who are lost, and that their lives can be changed forever. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Thank you.
This, please.